Welcome to Hmong Base, building awareness and empowerment through Hmong experiences.
We're bringing you stories from all generations of our Hmong community to talk about social justice issues.
I'm Emily.
I'm Cynthia.
Hey Cynthia, what color is for a boy?
Blue.
And what color is for a girl?
Pink.
But why is that? Why do we associate certain things with boys and other with girls?
Today we're talking about gender roles and the pressure we see in following those gender expectations.
Gajova, community activist, says that every culture has gender roles.
Each culture has set its own gender role according to what they think, you know, male or female folks within that community should be doing.
But what does this look like in the Hmong community?
We are still living within these confines of what gender roles used to be for people who lived in the homeland. And so I think, you know, from like hunting and gathering and farming. And so I think that they had really more strict gender roles when they were farming and in the homeland. And then, of course, those values get carried over to when they're leaving and becoming refugees and getting resettled here in the U.S. I think people continue to enforce those gender roles.
So expectations for girls today are the same as they were in the mountains, but we don't live in the same agricultural setting anymore.
Gaudra Vang, a high school student in the La Crosse area, feel like women today are limited and discriminated against.
My experience is sexism, always being discriminated because I'm a girl and feeling not proud to be a woman. It really brings you down as a human being because, you know, you always want to feel proud of yourself, and it's something that's not healthy for you. It can happen anywhere, like, just like at school, you know. Especially when you see it and you can't really do anything about it, but then, like, you know it's wrong. But at the same time, like, we all experience it in some shape, way, or form.
So you're a person of color, and as a woman as well, do you mind if you share a little bit, like, how you see these things in your culture and how it affects you and, like, other Hmong women?
I would say every single Hmong person would agree with me that males and females in this Hmong culture is completely different. Because men, it's supposedly they have more power and they are the quote-unquote boss or leader of whatever they owned. And women, on the other hand, are left aside and they're oppressed by these men because, you know, it's always based on what the men want. No matter what we say or what we do, how much we say, it's always taken for granted. And I think a lot of Hmong women agree, but, like, we always wish that our voices would be heard out there, but then it can't because we are women and all we do is cook and clean and, like, you know, help the men get prepared for what's coming. I just feel like sometimes men, they take advantage of us because we're a woman, and, like, it's very unfair because we all don't deserve this, and it just really sucks how, like, these men say, oh, we have more power, you listen to us because I'm a guy, you know. It really brings us down because we're just like, you know, do we not matter? We are still human beings. We're all the same. We all want to be proud to be who we are. It's just that being who we are also really brings us down.
But women aren't the only ones who are starting to see the negative impact gender roles can have. Pong is an 18-year-old man. He says he used to be okay with the inequality between men and women in his community.
Like, growing up, it was really normalized. So I saw everything as in I was okay with it up until this summer where I came here for the youth programming. Woo, 2017. And then there on, like, the discussions and the conversations really, really sparked my interest, and, like, it really became something that I needed to hear, needed to know. When I guess really opened my eyes in the summer, my great-grandma actually passed away, and then we went to Green Bay where my grandparents lived to help. And upstairs, and then Yeah, of course, you know, the only time the guys would come up is like to, you know, look at the, oh, Johnny, but you know, walking away, or, you know, stupid crap like that, right? So at that time, I was really annoyed. Something I didn't want was praise, right? Because, like giving me praise, questioning me. It's like, and I felt conflicted. I didn't want to say anything because I was like, yeah, good sahaji. It's like, good wasa. So I just shake it off and oh, wasa, good wasa. Another, and yeah. So I guess from the whole thing, what really annoyed and angered me was that they weren't doing anything like productive in the basement, like la hombia sa, hombia tape, you know, quote unquote men talk. So that was one of my experiences.
Mm-hmm. So like, why do you think that like a lot of men in our community have these like masculinity issues?
I don't know, like kuchipoka or origin. Dashi, I think it's within tradition. So our fathers are taught that, our grandfathers are taught that, and then everything just flows down. It's like what's expected for us to do. So like a stereotype. Mm-hmm.
How do you fix these kinds of problems as a man? You know, because like in the Hmong community, you know, and with the system that supports you, like how do you use the power that you have to bring awareness?
I think there's a like one right answer, but I think one way is to educate the younger boys, especially. They need the older men to teach them because they're not going to listen to any of the older women. So I don't see having that manpower, right, that privilege as a good thing, but I don't think it's all bad because we can use it, you know, we can manipulate the shit out of that. So in turn, by educating the younger boys to
When Pong started challenging the stereotypes about men and women that he felt were unfair, it caused a rift between him and his family. This can also happen to women who don't want to follow tradition or behave the way their family thinks they should.
Sia Vang is 25 years old, and she says she still struggles with her parents' expectations.
So as a Hmong daughter, you're taught to, you have to wake up early, you have to make breakfast, you have to clean the house, keep the house clean. You're expected to do all the work, laundry, everything, dishes, everything, and your husband or your brothers, whatever, can just sit and do nothing. And it's okay. It's viewed as okay. It's changed. It's slowly changing, I feel like. But there's still, like, it's still very, it's very difficult to be a Hmong girl in the Hmong, there's like, I can't explain it. It's just, it's very hard.
Do you have any sisters?
Yes, I have two older sisters. I would say I've got more leniency from my parents than my sisters did. I don't get into as much trouble as they did, but that's because they kind of opened the door for me now. So before, like, if they would go out past like maybe 9 or something like that, they'd get in trouble. Versus me now, I can go out past like midnight and I'm not in big trouble or anything like that. But yes, I do think we get treated differently just because we're girls. We represent ourselves, we represent our family. Like both my sisters, they're married. 2 years ago, we took a trip to Vegas because we wanted to go see a Big Bang concert. And then when we went, we didn't keep it a secret or anything. I kept telling my mom and my dad that I was going to go to Vegas with my sisters. We're going to go see a concert. The whole time, I told them that we were going, just us three, that my two littles weren't going. And then my mom just like, oh. And then the night of, my dad called and my dad was like, he didn't want to talk to me, but he wanted to talk to my sister. And then he spoke to each one of them individually and was like, you know, this doesn't look good. You know, you guys are married, you guys aren't going without your husbands, and this doesn't look good, blah 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 blah. But we were kind of confused because we were like, it's not like we were keeping it a secret, you know, we like, mm-hmm. we've been telling you that we were going, you know, and then I've been telling you that we're, it's just us three because Zilaus and them don't want to go. Eventually, they were just like, well, just don't do anything that would ruin your reputation, blah, 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 blah. But I feel like if we were sons, like, we would have never gotten that call, you know? We would never have gotten that, like, well, people are going to judge you and be like, oh, yeah, it's a Jukyeonsai, mo, it's like, I feel like it was very unnecessary. First things first, we know that if my Zilaus didn't let my sisters go, they wouldn't have gone in the first place. Even I know that. And second thing, it was our first time taking a sister trip. We have never done this before. So it was kind of like upsetting, but at the same time, it was just like, whatever, we don't care anymore. This is like the 21st century. We're going to do whatever we want. As long as we don't do anything bad, there's not really anything they can say about it. So I guess it's just, it's tough being a Hmong girl, but it's also, it's very nice. I think Hmong girls get taken for granted, like I said. Parents don't see how much, like, their daughters love them.
Wow, so even though she knows she's treated differently, she still finds it important to love her parents. But what if her parents' expectations makes her feel bitter?
Yeah, Gao-Chi Bang, tell us about how her dad's strict expectations have really hurt their relationship.
I live with a family that are mostly boys, and, like, I'm the only girl in the family and the youngest as well. So, like, and because, like, I don't have a female mother figure in my life right now, so, like, I don't know, I'm just different. I'm, like, the odd one out of the family, and I don't know how to connect with my dad because, like, we just argue a lot, and because, like, I'm a girl, you know, and because he's a guy, and he thinks that he holds the power over me. I always hesitate to talk to him because I'm always scared that there's something that I'm always doing wrong, which I know that deep inside, like, that's not my doing, like, it's him. Yeah, the things that we argue about a lot is when I'm constantly always going out. Or, like, even if I'm not going out, like, I'm doing certain things, but he doesn't know because, like, me and my dad, we don't really communicate. The things that I do that aren't wrong, but to the Hmong community that they see, they think that is bad as a Hmong daughter. My family, which are men, like, they threaten me, like, especially my dad, he threatens me that, like, you know, if I do this and all that and do as I please, like, he won't support me. With, like, financial wise, he won't give me money, he won't do anything, and when I get married, he will not give me anything, like, for, like, a blessing, you know, or and all that stuff. And my brothers, like, I guess they don't really threaten me, but, like, they do also make me feel that way. I think the one that really, really makes me sad, you know, and I'm sure that most Hmong women can understand, you know, and, like, I think it makes me really sad when I come home late, you know, or even if it's just, like, a random day that I'm home, and I have a lot of guy friends, and I would come home, or, you know, and my grandma would always say that Gokuchi Samu and it would really, like, and I need to, like, really do something about it too, because, like, it's gonna bring down the family reputation, it's gonna bring down my brother's reputation, it's gonna bring down my dad's reputation, and I need to watch myself. You know, because I never know what's going to happen, you know, and, like, men are scary, you know. And she's also being oppressed, but she doesn't understand those things because she's so traditional, you know, so old-fashioned that, like, these are the things that you need to follow, and, like, men are always the ones that they look upon because men are stronger than us, and we always have to follow orders because that's how it is in the Hmong community. And so it's a little hard for me to rely on her because she doesn't understand the things that I go through. I've gotten so sick and tired of having to hold the burden of needing to keep my dad or my brother's reputation up. And I think that's really hard, and I don't think that's my job, you know, because I'm also a human being, and I don't care about reputation. It's however you want to look at my family, go ahead. You know, however you look at me, go ahead, because I'm my own person, you're your own person. You have the right to judge, because a human being judges no matter what. And, you know, and that's normal. And, you know, and I get really tired of hearing reputation over and over, because, you know, like, that's not the burden that I need to hold upon myself.
Why do you think we build sisterhood?
I think that we build sisterhood is because as Hmong women, we don't have that kind of space, because we grew up to learn to be, like, to do things for men. And we don't understand what it's like to have a sister, or, like, even if we do have a sister, like, they're also being oppressed. And that is not a space for you two, because for me and her, like, we would both be, like, feeling the same way, but we don't know how to connect when we don't have the space, when it's so toxic at home. And we build the sisterhood. The reason why is because we need that space to come together and talk and to connect, and for us to understand that, wow, like, this amazing woman here is also going through the same exact thing as I am. You know, we have so much in common, you know, and that's what makes sisterhood so powerful.
So for Gao Qi, those gender expectations made her relationship with her family very difficult.
Yeah, and she makes the point that to help Hmong women, we all need to practice sisterhood.
And that's exactly how Gao Zhuo Va got involved with addressing gender-based violence.
The first time I advocated for a Hmong girl, she was actually running away from home because her parents were so strict. She had been kept as a teen and restricted from going outside because her parents didn't feel that she was being a good Hmong girl, and she was being a balai, and they had threatened to cut her hair off. And so I remember being a teen myself, really young, maybe like 18 or 19, and her running to me because at that time I was already in college and had a place to stay. And so she came and she asked for my help, and that was my first time really advocating for her and for her safety. And so it really started when I was young. You know, I mean, I grew up in the 80s. I, you know, came here as a young girl and grew up as a refugee teen here in the U.S. And we had really strict gender roles. My sister and I were to cook, clean, do all the laundry, all the house chores, but I didn't see my brothers doing anything. Many families have changed, but many families are still very traditional. And so I could see many Hmong girls having to do all of the family chores as a means of getting them ready to be good wives or good partners. But that young boys are not taught the same, which has detrimental effects for young adults who do want to become partners with each other, whether they're in same-sex relationship or whether they're in a queer relationship or a heterosexual relationship. Young boys who are not taught equitable gender roles and responsibilities often have a really tough time in relationships. And so at the root cause of why there's gender-based violence, the need to control, the need to be better than, the need for one gender to be inferior to the other gender. Like, these are things that are root causes to gender-based violence. And I feel like if we don't change our community to believe that both gender are valuable, that we can't escape that. And so expectations or gender role of what we think is a good Hmong daughter or a good Hmong girl or a good Hmong wife, and anything that isn't that, is automatically labeled as a balai or a rebel or a bad girl. You know, if you wanted to go to college outside of your state, you were defined as somebody who was a balai. I mean, just so many things that you could have done. Automatically, if somebody didn't like it, if men didn't like it, if your family felt like they couldn't control you, then you were, like, automatically labeled. And so I think that it definitely creates a lot of isolation. It creates a lot of emotional trauma, unnecessary trauma for women and girls. Our community has to change. That culture is ever evolving, and that culture is not static and that it has to change to meet the needs of the people and to meet the needs of the times that are changing. And so let's have some conversations. I think who better to come up with solutions than the community itself? I really believe that actually Hmong women and girls and queer folks have a lot of the answers. When you allow people who are most marginalized and those who are most impacted by oppression to come up with the solution, I think that it's a great start.
Soka Jua says that people who have harder lives and are more marginalized have the solutions to create a better community.
So Hmong women and queer folks will be the leaders for change?
I think so, Cynthia.
Me too. Thank you for listening to Hmong Bays.
Check out more of our podcast, where we talk about how racism is impacting Hmong Americans at school and how some students are pushing back.
We would like to dedicate this episode in the memory of Gaojer Vang, a resilient Hmong woman. She used her voice and her perspective to empower other Hmong women and to help guide Hmong Bays on their journey.